This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with New World Report with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She's in Bogota. In Bogota, a modern city and a democracy of a state, Colombia, is challenged. Its institutions are challenged by outside actors. Now the question, are those outside actors in Ecuador? I read from news in these last hours. Clashes in Ecuador as big march approaches Quito to protest rising fuel prices. Lead paragraphs. Hundreds of indigenous people and farmers clashed with Ecuadorian security forces on Monday as they marched toward the capital to protest against fuel prices. Riot police and the military used tear gas to try to disperse the marchers in the town of Machachi, forgive my pronunciation, on the outskirts of Quito. Protesters blocked roads in town with burning tires and barricades. Ecuador has been rocked by days of demonstrations after an increase of 120% of fuel prices came into force last October. And the reason I read all of this is old news, but there's new upset in Ecuador that is similar to this, very upset. This from 2 years ago before the pandemic, but what I'm reading now is similar protests in Ecuador. I don't have a news report about it. So I begin with you, Joseph. Are you surprised that Ecuador is seeing disorder now in Quito? It, to my reading, hasn't had a voter, anything challenging like that for change of authority.
So we dodged the bullet. A few months ago when Andres Arauz didn't become the next president of Ecuador and Guillermo Lasso won that election. We talked about it on the show. But that didn't mean that Andres Arauz and more importantly his benefactor, which is Rafael Correa, the former president, who's a critical node within that threat network that emanates from Venezuela, that didn't mean that he was going to go away. So we've always anticipated that at some point soon that there was going to be instability that was going to return to Ecuador. Now, they did this in 2019. As you mentioned, John, they had mass national protests that got so out of control that at the time the Lenin Moreno government had to move its headquarters from Quito, the capital of Ecuador, to Guayaquil. So we haven't seen that this hit that level of temperature yet with the protests, but they are beginning. So it's something to keep an eye on, and absolutely we have to be very vigilant because as we've seen in Colombia, as we've seen in Chile, actually as we've seen in Haiti, that mass national protests, which can start for legitimate reasons, can quickly transform into violent riots that don't have any legitimate reasons and that are agitated by outside actors. So we have to be very careful at looking at Ecuador. Guillermo Lasso, the current president, the new president of Ecuador, is absolutely a target of these threat networks because he is not on board with their failed policies throughout the region.
Joseph, we have to go to 2019 to see these mass protests. We don't have them now, but there's reporting out of London that the people in Ecuador are extremely unhappy with every condition, the virus, the prices, the leadership. Is this something that we can pick up in news, or is the news reporting agitprop? You see, I can't tell. I don't have the language, so I can't see what level of propaganda is here and what level is reporting.
Yeah, so, Latin America is probably the region that's hit the hardest economically by the virus. It's also hit with the actual infection of the virus, but the economic impacts are tremendous. I mean, the region lost 8-9% of its GDP collectively in 1 year. Decades of development and growth throughout the region were lost in 1 year for many of the countries. Some of them are facing unemployment as high as 20% or higher. So that's going to create all kinds of grievances all throughout the region. That's into some way legitimate because the people are suffering. But the problem is that the bad actors are capitalizing on that moment to basically instill their network so that they could put their political players into power. And then that's what we have to be worried about. And so the reporting doesn't always cover that. We saw that clearly in Colombia. In Colombia, they covered the legitimate grievance very widely and very accurately reported, but they didn't cover the outside agitation. They didn't cover the subversion. They didn't cover the disinformation. I mean, the levels of disinformation, a lot of these protests is tremendous. They're using click farms as far away as Bangladesh. because the internet's cheap over there, and they're using those click farms to create bots and all kinds of algorithms to be able to take a narrative and spin it all out of control, a false narrative in many cases. So the reporting has to be very accurate, and we have to be very careful at looking at the media sources. And you know, even in Spanish, in the reputable media sources in those countries, a lot of them get the story wrong at the first take because they're focused too much on just one aspect of those protests.
Maria, I'm struck by this as an outsider coming to this for the first time, almost as if I'm reading a novel, how the protests in Ecuador in 2019 resemble in form the protests that took place in Bogota and other Colombia cities in 2020. There's a nominal protest over some decision by the government. In Quito, it was the price of gasoline 2 years ago, before the pandemic. In Bogota, I believe it was about a tax that was going to be imposed. But in any event, it was a government movement presenting what was called a grievance. And then the protests accelerated in Bogota, just as they did in Quito 2 years ago. Now, I'm being suspicious, but is there anything to this, that these protest movements are directed? Maybe there's an initial cause, but they're directed and almost as if somebody's putting oxygen on a fire.
It is a guide. It is exactly a one to another that needs a notice. Sometimes this notice is, as you said, of a government movement. And other times could be a success that emotionally makes the people race against something. Especially it will be useful to race against the police or against the authorities. But it is a guide, is very well funded with money and with propaganda and using the youth, because the youth are the most probable target to manipulate because of emotions over the reason. So if you see each one of the riots that have happened, you will see the same structure and the same strategy. And what is very curious is, for example, that Argentina, who is doing worse than any other country economically speaking, they are in an inflation that could not be reverted. They are going to again to leave what was called a corralito, where the banks had to withhold the money from the people, practically stealing people's money. And then when you get the money out, after a month or 2 months, your money doesn't value the same. And why there's no riots there? Because they are in power. That's the difference. And that's a very clever way to see how all this has been organized.
In the time of the virus, we're trying to look through the time of the virus. I mentioned, as I did at the beginning, the Lambda variant is said to be moving through South America and Central America because this is winter time and people are indoors. The Lambda variant, we've not dealt with that in the U.S., nor has Europe yet. We're still dealing with the Delta variant. All that is backdrop to the disorder we've reported anecdotally from Havana, from Bogota, from Quito, the potential in Quito, from Port-au-Prince. Maria mentions Argentina, no protest there because, well, fill in the blank. Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Maria Fernanda Cabal, Senator from the Colombian Legislature in Bogota. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.